the first round of the girls' state volleyball tournament getting underway yesterday in Cedar Rapids. In Class 5A first round play, it was Dubuque Hempstead, a 3-1 winner over Dowling Catholic. Ankeny Centennial, 3-2 over Johnston. Bettendorf swept 3 from Iowa City West, and Cedar Falls down Cedar Rapids Kennedy, 3-1 as they all advanced to the semifinals in 5A. In Class 4A, a couple of Hawkeye 10 conference teams were winners in the first round. It was Harlan sweeping 3 from Pella, 25-16, 25-21, and 25-22 were the game scores. Harlan advancing to the semis. Lewis Central also moves on as they post a 3-2 win over Marion. They won the second 2 games after falling behind 2-1. Marion won game 4 to tie the match, and then it was Lewis Central 15-10 in the third and the fifth and deciding game to win it 3-2. West Delaware, 3-sweep over Western Dubuque, and Bishop Heelan Catholic beat Waverly Shellrock 3-1 to advance to the semifinals. The other three classes will have their first rounds today. In 3A action this morning at 10 o'clock, West Liberty faces Forest City, and Nevada plays Waterloo Columbus Catholic. At noon today, Kemper Catholic will battle Sergeant Bluff Luton, and Mount Vernon will play Center Point Urbana. In 2A play this afternoon at 2 o'clock, Western Christian faces St. Albert. Unity Christian will play Sumner Fredericksburg. The 4 o'clock matches have West Branch facing Wapsie Valley, and Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont battling Dyke New Hartford. And in Class 1A action tonight at 6 o'clock, Sydney plays Springville, while Tripola will face Grandview Christian. 8 o'clock matches tonight have Central Lyon against Lamar's Galen Catholic, and Janesville battling Holy Trinity Catholic. The winners moving into the semis. Well, Notre Dame has moved into the top 4 in the second college football playoff selection committee rankings of the season. Clemson remained number 1, with Alabama moving up 2 spots to number 2. Ohio State stays at number 3, and the Fighting Irish are up a spot to number 4. Notre Dame and Alabama each have 1 loss. Undefeated Iowa was promoted 4 spots as they're in at number 5 this week. Baylor is the highest-ranked Big 12 team. They're at number 6. LSU is number 2 last week, but they dropped to number 9 after they lost at Alabama. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says revenge is not the motivation for the Hawkeyes as they prepare for Saturday's game against Minnesota. The Gophers scored 4 second-quarter touchdowns and hammered the Hawkeyes 51-14 a year ago, a low point in a season which finished with a 7-6 record. Ferentz says there's nothing to avenge. The Gophers did what they were supposed to do, and the Hawkeyes did not.
That's what competition's about. So, you know, we walked into one, and I've said a lot of times, I say it to our players all the time, in sports you typically get what you deserve. And, you know, we got what we deserved. We just, you know, we got out-coached, out-played, you know, any way you want to slice it. So, you know, but that, there's a lot of things that happened last year, and that was last year, and this is a different team, different year, and different opportunity.
With a victory on Saturday, Iowa would be 10-0 for the first time, but Ferentz says his team has done a good job of remaining focused on the immediate goal. He says the Hawkeyes have become accustomed to being part of the national conversation, and they've shown that it's not a distraction.
It just seems to me like maybe we're over the initial wave, if you will, over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, so right now I think it seems like we're down to business. You know, it doesn't seem to be as much distraction or what have you. And I haven't really, you know, paid too close attention on the outside, but it seems like things have died down a little bit. But it's been interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, Ferentz says he's been amused by some of the debate over Iowa's schedule.
Somebody that has a microphone, access to a microphone, some of the stuff, discussion that comes up, suggested we knew our schedule 5 years ago. I think there were 11 teams in the Big Ten 5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. There was no leaders or legends, no East or West. And, you know, the world's changed a lot in 5 years. So, you know, it's caused, you know, it's been a great avenue for a lot of interesting dialogue and discourse. But I think our guys are pretty much wired into what we're doing, and we better, because we got a big challenge on our hands Saturday.
Much of the reason for Iowa's success has been quarterback C.J. Beathard. The junior has shown the ability to make big plays with the game on the line.
Yeah, you know, certain players just have a little something extra they add to the equation, and certainly CJ has demonstrated that now this season, over 9 games and last year in 1. So he's really playing well, and that's part of the reason we're doing well right now as a team.
Ferentz expects leading rusher Jordan Canzeri to play on Saturday. He's been out since suffering an ankle injury in the first quarter of the October 17th victory at Northwestern. Should be electric at Kinnick Stadium Saturday. We'll have it for you here on the radio. 5 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock is kickoff Saturday night. Ohio State quarterback JT Barrett has pleaded guilty to a count of driving while impaired. He was sentenced to a three-day alcohol education program and fined $400 in a Columbus, Ohio court. The 20-year-old was cited for the misdemeanor at a Columbus police checkpoint October 31st. Coach Urban Meyer suspended Barrett for last Saturday's game against Minnesota. On Monday, Meyer said that Barrett is again considered the starter heading into Saturday's game at Illinois. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck will miss 2 to 6 weeks with a lacerated kidney and a partial tear of an abdominal muscle. Coach Chuck Pagano says that Luck was injured in the fourth quarter of Sunday's win over Denver. The Colts don't believe their quarterback will need surgery. The timing couldn't be any worse for 4-5 Indianapolis, as they were hoping to return to form from this week's bye and build momentum with a favorable schedule. Indy will return to former 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck, who's 2-0 as a Colts starter with wins over Houston and Jacksonville this season. In baseball news, catcher and World Series MVP Salvador Perez, first baseman Eric Hosmer, and shortstop Alcides Escobar topped the American League's Gold Glove winners. Other American League Gold Glove winners are Houston pitcher Dallas Keuchel, Houston second baseman Jose Altuve, Baltimore third baseman Manny Machado, Detroit outfielder Yoenis Cespedes, Tampa Bay outfielder Kevin Kiermaier, and the LA Angels' Cole Calhoun. Two members of the St. Louis Cardinals, catcher Yadier Molina and outfielder Jason Hayward, lead the National League All-Defensive Team. It's Molina's eighth Gold Glove. Other National League Gold Glovers are Dodgers pitcher Zach Greinke, Arizona first baseman Paul Goldschmidt, Miami second baseman D. Gordon, Colorado third baseman Nolan Arenado, Giants shortstop Brandon Crawford, Pittsburgh outfielder Starling Marte, and Arizona center fielder A.J. Pollock. Cardinals right-hander Lance Lynn has had surprise Tommy John surgery, and he'll be sidelined all of next season. The operation required a torn ulnar collateral ligament while having the ulnar nerve transposed and bone chips removed. Lynn was 12-11 with a .303 earned run average last season and missed a couple of starts in June with a forearm strain. The loss of Lynn is the latest blow to the National League Central champion Cardinals' pitching depth. Washington Nationals slugger Bryce Harper is one of three finalists for the National League MVP Award, who played for the teams that had disappointing seasons. Harper is joined by Arizona's Paul Goldschmidt and Cincinnati's Joey Votto. Lorenzo Cain of the world champion Royals, Josh Donaldson of the AL East champion Blue Jays, and 2014 winner Mike Trout of the Angels are the American League finalists for the MVP Award. Those winners will be announced next week. And authorities are investigating the death of former Braves and Angels pitcher Tommy Hansen. Coweta County Coroner Richard Hawk said an autopsy began Tuesday following Hansen's death at the age of 29 Monday night at Atlanta's Piedmont Hospital. Hawk said that Hansen was found unconscious and unresponsive in Coweta County near Atlanta on Sunday. Hawk told the Associated Press Tuesday night the cause and manner of death are still under investigation. Hansen, a 6'6" right-hander, pitched for the Braves from 2009 to 2012, winning at least 10 games in each of those seasons. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.